Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This hour, we welcome a guest I've really been looking forward to having on, and we cover a topic of utmost importance to importance to anyone who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel of the cross, of compassion for the poor, surrender not to our desires but to the love of God. This is a gospel in its elements that we share with our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, almost all of them, but we share it in a less clear obvious manifestation with what's called the prosperity gospel. And to be frank, in many ways, this gospel, the prosperity gospel, is not a true gospel. It does not reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in all likelihood, today, at this very moment, there are members of your clan, your family, your circle, who have come to believe in this prosperity gospel to one degree or another. And relatively magical properties, I suppose you would say. If you have questions about the prosperity gospel, if you would like help leading others to the true gospel of Jesus and away from the prosperity gospel, give us a call this hour, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest was raised in the Word of Faith movement, which is the more precise term for the prosperity gospel movement, and knows both its habits and its history. Lisa Cooper is a convert to the Catholic faith, a mother of four, a speaker, a writer, an entrepreneur, and I could not be more thrilled to have her here. Lisa Cooper, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So maybe we should just start with the basics for those who might go, well, I don't know what they mean when they say prosperity gospel. It's all around us. They see it all around us. But what is the prosperity gospel?
So I'm losing my...
Not your mind, your headphones.
Well, there's that too.
Okay.
So, so the prosperity gospel is really, I mean, I think what most people perceive it to be is this, just this set of talking heads on TV of people who want your money and promise miracles in return. And while that is an aspect of prosperity gospel for sure, really the prosperity gospel, as we talked about before, is more accurately called the Word of Faith movement. And Word of Faith comes from this idea that because of the sacrifice that Jesus bought and paid for, he bought a certain authority for us on the earth. And we exercise that authority by using the words of our mouth to make confessions. In other words, we speak words of faith. And by using those words of faith, we can transform the physical world using spiritual principles. That's really where that comes from. And so prosperity is actually a byproduct of our using our faith, using our words in order to create a new reality for ourselves.
And an immediate danger suggests itself from that. Well, for one, it does not resemble much of what Jesus himself had to say or how he lived. But it seems to me that if you believe that if my faith is strong enough and I put my word of faith out there, it can transform reality. Mm-hmm. If your reality does not change in a favorable way, how do you have anyone to blame but yourself?
That's exactly it. And in fact, you're taught that exactly. I mean, these ministers will stand in the pulpit and say to you, if your child died, even though you were standing on your faith and making your confessions and doing everything that we told you to do, it's your fault. It's a failure of your faith. If your bills don't get paid, if that job doesn't manifest the way that you wanted it to. And in fact, these men will even apply this to their own lives. For example, Rodney Howard Brown, who is, he's Word of Faith, and he refers to himself as the Holy Ghost bartender, which may be a topic for another day. But sadly, he lost a daughter. And when he talks about the fact that his daughter died, and the funeral was attended by all of the, you know, the big guys in Word of Faith, and everyone was gathered around. And in fact, they waited until the last minute possible to put her coffin in the ground because they really were believing that she was going to be raised from the dead. And when they had to bury her, the thing that Rodney Howard Brown came out and said was, well, I lost that battle with the devil. I mean, he saw that as, I missed it. I failed. My faith didn't work. And so, you know, in a way, I think sometimes we point a finger at these guys and we're angry with them because we feel like they're very shaming to us. And it is very, it's a very shameful thing, I think, to feel like I'm doing my best, and yet I still fall short in my faith. I still don't have these things being manifested in my life the way that I had hoped. But I will say that they do tend to turn that on themselves as well, that when they feel like something isn't happening in their life the way that it should, they sort of take their own medicine in that regard.
Which suggests a kind of sincerity of faith that is actually when we dismiss some of these ministers as hucksters, they're doing mm-hmm. this just because they want money. They do want money, but they truly believe yeah. that when the money comes to them, that is a manifestation of their faith.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a mixture of a great deception, and it's also a mixture of, you know, that great deception mixed with what happens to us just as human beings. You know, if I can tell this little short story on myself when it comes to a lack of humility, because I think that's the thing that we accuse them of. I know just recently, all over the internet, we saw this story that Jesse Duplantis was asking for $54 million for a plane that he is convinced that he needs in order to spread the gospel. You know, Creflo Dollar has a $65 million plane. Kenneth Copeland has over five planes. I mean, he has five different planes that belong to him. One of them is an old naval fighter plane. So, I mean, it's not like he needs that to go spread the gospel. So I think what happens is we sit here and we criticize them, and I think rightfully so, for wanting these extravagant things, but they didn't start off that way. Most of these guys started off in abject poverty or not far above it. And so they didn't go from the guy who drove some jalopy down the road to driving a Rolls Royce and having a $54 million plane. Incrementally, they got to that place because they believe they used their faith. And they don't see the correlation that if I stand in front of you and I say, hey, Cy, the Lord told me that if you will bless me, he will bless you. They don't see, well, of course you're blessed, because if I give you my money,
right,
then it's up to God to settle up with me. And I think, you know, I had this, that trying to cultivate humility was something that was very important to me when I came into the Catholic Church. And I'm very drawn, of course, to St. Ignatius of Loyola. And, of course, St. Francis of Assisi, their humility is just, it's awe-inspiring. And so I was praying and asking the Lord to help me cultivate humility. And I said, you know, Lord, it's very easy to be humble when you have no other choice. So give me a chance. You know, give me something and give me a chance to demonstrate that I can cultivate humility in my life. So I was on a flight from Austin to Shreveport. And I got bumped into first class, and I'm sitting in first class and I'm talking to all these incredible people, and then they pull out the snacks of first class, and I wanted to stand up and like shout back to everybody else and go, you need to sit down with your tired peanuts, because do you know that we have chocolate covered popcorn up here with cranberries? And I was so, and in that moment, truly, yeah. I'm embarrassed to say this, I justified the idea of why I would need to be in first class. Like, this is such a cool thing. And, you know, you would never get bumped from a flight. And that's so important when you travel. And suddenly I start justifying why it would be important for me to fly first class.
Right.
And it's like I realized when I got home, and I kind of was laughing in my prayer time with the Lord in my, you know, quest for humility. And I said, Lord, how am I ever going to be St. Ignatius when the snacks in first class are so great? And that's really what's happening with these guys. I mean, it yeah. happens in promotion. Remember, like Kenneth Copeland's been in ministry for 40 or 50 years. So you're talking about 50 years of incremental blessing that he believes he deserves.
Yeah.
And so then you finally do get to this place where you think you deserve a $54 million plane or a fleet of planes or any of these things.
But now, you, on the other hand, experienced it as a child. And so what is said to a child who, because, you know, kids' life is hard. You get your bumps and bruises. You don't know how to do stuff. You got to go through all these hardships to learn just how to do the basics of taking care of yourself. So when you are going through the miseries of childhood, which is part of the deal, what is the message to you about those miseries?
Well, when you're a child and you're sad over, I think you're not, at least I guess I wasn't introspective enough to understand the reasons why I was sad. I didn't understand, you know, these things are happening to me and that's what's making me sad. But I think as I got older, you know, and like I said, I had little childlike things that I prayed for that didn't come to pass. And I think I developed early on, not so much a resentment, maybe a little bit of a resentment of God, but more of a sense that he didn't love me. God doesn't do this for me because he doesn't love me. And because as a child, you don't really understand using your faith. You don't really know how to put that into action.
Right.
I mean, you do. You understand it's important that I say these things. I mean, growing up in my house, we were not allowed to say, I'm sick. I had to say, I believe that the devil is trying to give me a cold, and I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. But I wasn't allowed to go to my mom and say, I'm sick. We weren't allowed to say, you scared me. And I had two brothers who would love to jump out and scare me. And we were not allowed to say, you know, shout at my brother and go, you scared me. My mom said, no, you can't ever confess fear because fear is the opposite of faith. And so I think growing up in Word of Faith, it was more understanding the rules than it was necessarily pondering why they didn't always work. But it wasn't until I got to be an adult that I understood, and really I think that burden of shame of not being enough, of not being good enough, that's when that really started to sink in for me and build that resentment.
Because the material things of this world are the evidence of your faith in the Word of
they
Faith
are.
Movement. And so if things are not working out for you, it's clearly because it's manifest to everyone in the community. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough faith to be doing better.
Right. That's exactly right. And they equate that with the blessing of Abraham. They say, well, Abraham was greatly blessed, and that was the mark of God on his life. And now we are in this covenant that Jesus formed for us on our behalf, and we are to walk in that same kind of blessing. And so it's kind of a very Jewish perspective that the more blessed you are, the more favor you must have with God. And so it is this concept of not only your faith, but also your favor. They teach that all the time, that I'm one of God's. There's a man named Jerry Savelle who teaches a whole series on being one of God's favorites, like the Malachites, but I'm a favorite. And all of these things that God does for me. And of course, he talks about jet setting all over the world with different famous people. And I mean, literally, there was a move, I want to say in the mid-90s in Word of Faith, where churches all over the world, if you were the person standing up preaching, people would run from their seats and drop money at your feet. And so then these preachers would talk about, God must love me. I'm one of his favorites because I left truly with a garbage bag full of tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, right.
And so when you're sitting there, you think, well, God must not love me at all because all I'm leaving here with is unpaid bills.
Right. So we have to take a quick break, Lisa. And I think I'd like you to explain to us when we come back a couple things. One, why this is important for Catholics to know. In the world today, why should Catholics know about this prosperity gospel and what it's doing to people? But also I want to talk about the secular parallels, because we see people putting things out into the universe and doing these other secular things that actually do have a historical connection to the prosperity gospel movement. And you are the person to explain it. If you'd like to talk with Lisa Cooper about the prosperity gospel, the Word of Faith movement, 888-318-7884 is our number. We'll take that break. We'll be right back with your calls and Lisa Cooper right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
The 18th century skeptic philosopher David Hume argued the wise man should never believe in miracles because the evidence for what occurs over and over, the regular, always outweighs evidence for what does not, the rare. But is Hume right? Well, no, and here are some reasons why. First, it's not true evidence for uniform experience always outweighs evidence for what is rare. For example, have you experienced any Big Bangs lately? My guess is no. Does that mean we should reject the Big Bang? Of course not. Second, Hume's principle nullifies science itself. How could scientists ever reasonably use new findings to update their understanding of the universe if it's unreasonable to accept what contradicts our uniform experience? The answer is, they couldn't. So, are miracles in and of themselves off limits for the wise, as Hume puts it? Absolutely not. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, great big Wednesday show. This hour we're talking with Lisa Cooper, who was raised in what is called internally into the movement, the Word of Faith movement. Many people know it as, maybe a word like or a phrase such as name it and claim it, or prosperity gospel. We often make fun of it when people like Creflo Dollar, for example, say they need millions of dollars to buy a plane, and they call on their TV viewers and various disciples to give them money in order to do that. But it's not the caricature that we think it is. Lisa knows this because she was raised in the Word of Faith, later converted to Catholicism. Did you experience your conversion to Catholicism as a liberation?
Oh, gosh, yes. And in fact, I had some very unkind things prophesied over me by some of these Word of Faith pastors about my conversion experience, things, curses that would come on me if I continued in my Catholic faith. And initially I was very afraid because, you know, I had always grown up believing these are the men of God and they have this, you know, connection to God that I don't have. And if they say something, then you should obey. But I knew in my heart that I was following the truth. And I believe just the graces of the Blessed Mother protected me. And once I was home and settled in the church and really began to let that truth sink in and the grace of the sacraments enlighten my life, then absolutely I've been very free and have a relatively, well, probably annoyingly joyful disposition because of it. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So thus far, it hasn't been annoying. I'll let you know if it becomes annoying, however.
<you. laughs>
So let's get to that question about Catholics then. I mean, a Catholic listening on a Catholic radio station, we're talking about what appears to be primarily a Protestant movement. And certainly, we don't want to imply that all Protestant people accept this name it and claim it or give to
right.
get type theology. They don't. But mm-hmm. So why do I as a Catholic have concern about this? Why should I worry about it?
Well, I think what we're seeing more and more in the Catholic world, a couple of things. One is we're seeing Catholics who, you know, sort of peek over the fence and see what's going on in Joel Osteen's camp or Joyce Myers or Joseph Prince. Those are kind of three of the big ones, especially Joel Osteen. And they think, you know, this guy, he's such a great guy. He's so kind. I always refer to him as being very sweet. And he is, I think, a very sweet, sweet man. And so not only do you hear this kindness and this very loving and very accepting message? But what you're also hearing is, you know what? You have the power to change your life by declaring things over your life. And so you have Catholics who are beginning to sort of, I don't want to say necessarily corrupt their own faith, but they're certainly introducing a corrupting influence into their faith. So you can be going to Mass, you can be receiving the sacraments, but it's a very subtle when you come in and you hear, you know what, I'm just going to start finding some things that the Bible says about my life and confessing those things or declaring those things over my life. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, if you go in and let's just say you start reading 1 Peter 2:24, which talks about the fact that by his stripes we were healed, which is a reference to Isaiah 53. Well, that is true. We were healed by the stripes of Jesus. And Jesus does still, in his sovereignty, God does still choose to heal us sometimes. But that scripture doesn't mean that God's going to heal you physically every time. In fact, when you go back and read Isaiah 53, it talks about the fact that what God heals us from is our sin. He frees us from our sin. And then the other healing that we will experience will be that healing that we will have, that total and complete healing of any disease, of any ailment. And of course, through purgatory, any remnant of sin that remains in us on our way to heaven and when we get to heaven. But people don't see it that way. And what's being taught by Joyce Meyer, by Joel Osteen, is kind of this heaven on earth mentality. And after a while, a couple of things can happen. One is you can become very resentful because your life isn't changing the way you want it to. And so you can start to question God's love for you or feel like he doesn't care about you or why isn't this working for me because all these other people are being healed and I'm not.
Yep.
Or you can begin to kind of grow cold toward the Catholic faith and say, well, God, over at this church, you know, I feel loved, I feel welcome, and the worship is so amazing. And,
yes,
you know, and so people will leave Mass because they think the Mass is supposed to be about their feelings and their emotions and their experience with God. And they suddenly have this misunderstanding, maybe not suddenly, but they have this misunderstanding of what liturgy is for, and that Mass is for the sacraments, Mass is for the Eucharist. Mass is when we come in and we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the sacrifice of the Mass. It's not the feel-good, jump up and down of the Mass. And so these teachers who, you know, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, people like that, and Joyce Meyer's not a big, she's not big on follow your feelings, but it's easy to follow our feelings when we're hearing people who talk about you can have a better life and it's all in your hands. You can control it all. And it's very subtle, but it does remove the sovereignty of God from our lives. And it does remove, the second thing I was going to say is that it also removes that command that we carry crosses when we're going to follow after the Lord.
Right. We resent any cross that comes our way instead of saying, Jesus said, take up your cross each day and follow me.
Well, what we're taught to do is we rebuke those crosses.
Oh.
We call them the devil and we tell them to get away and we start praying scriptures over them instead of understanding that these were designed to transform us into the image of God himself.
I think also there are many Catholics who have a kind of subtle connection to a very, very similar message, and I wonder if they're connected, that's more of a New Agey, The Secret, a little bit of Oprah Winfrey message, which is, if I put it out there in the universe, that's how I make it real. This sounds so similar to the prosperity gospel. I wonder if they are connected.
It actually is the exact same thing. It's just that people in Word of Faith justify what they're doing by saying, well, no, because we're not asking the universe. We're asking God. And this is all God-centered. This is God-designed. But what they really don't understand is that the history of their faith is rooted in the occult. It is rooted in Eastern religion. It is rooted in this idea that somehow we're all God. We're all little gods. Now, Word of Faith will say, you're not God, as in God with a big G, but you're a little God. And you're supposed to exercise the same kind of authority as that God did on the earth before the fall. you're supposed to exercise that authority in your life. And so all of that, and in fact, it's kind of funny because all of the concepts in The Secret, even though The Secret is kind of a new thing, all of those ideas and concepts are part of the New Thought movement, which predates the Word of Faith movement.
A late 19th century movement, mostly centered in Massachusetts and Boston.
Yes.
It probably connected to the Transcendentalist movement that came before it, but it's not Christian in its roots.
Right, exactly. Now, there were some people who were involved in New Thought who considered themselves Christian, and that was very prevalent in the Boston area, in the New England area, because it did come on the heels of Transcendentalism, where, of course, you have Emerson, you have Thoreau, and you have this sort of think tank of these great thinkers, philosophers of the age.
Well, you can hear, I can hear the music. That means we have to take a quick break. So these threads are there all throughout the culture. They are within the Catholic Church. They are on media constantly. And they are among those who are practicing Word of Faith as a particular strain of Protestantism, certainly not mainstream Protestantism. And we'll talk with Lisa more about why this is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and that gospel is better. We'll be right back.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answer's brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
And I wanted to tell you guys how great your show is because I listen to you guys for every day for the last past 5.5 months. It's because of you guys that I came to the Catholic faith. Now I'm going to church on Sunday for the first time because I just got out yesterday from jail. And I got my mom to go too. And my girlfriend is also going with me. Wow. She's willing to give the Catholic faith a try.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you with us for this great big Wednesday show. And don't forget, tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. We'll have Jimmy Akin here with us. I believe we'll have Patrick Madrid here with us. Unless I'm remembering the schedule wrong, it's going to be a wonderful. Any question you have on the Catholic faith is welcome during open forum, and you don't have to be Catholic to call. I also would like to remind you that all through the month of June, Catholic Answers Magazine, one of the finest Catholic publications in the world, and I don't make it, but I read it, and it is very, very good. Carla's got a great article coming up in it on the hiddenness of God in the latest issue. And it's $10 off a one-year subscription, $20 off a two-year subscription. You get a free digital subscription thrown in with it. And you won't be sorry you did. The big Faith and Science issue comes out. That's the July-August issue. Lots of wonderful scholars talking about the relationship between faith and science and how Catholics, what the Catholic perspective is on that relationship. If you get your subscription in June, in addition to getting the $10 off on a 1-year subscription and $20 off on the 2-year subscription, you'll make sure to get the big faith and science issue coming out. Could you just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com? I have put off the callers because I really wanted to lay the groundwork so people would understand what we're talking about when we're talking about Word of Faith, often called the Prosperity Gospel. Lisa, I feel that we have laid that groundwork. I would like to go to callers. You feel ready to take calls?
I'm ready.
Let's start with Walt in Pennsylvania. Walt, you are on with Lisa Cooper. Your question, please.
Yeah. How do these guys, how do they explain why the first apostles were all martyred? Why couldn't the apostles just name it and claim it and vaporize all these guys that were trying to kill them?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Walt. And that's one of the things that when I was in Word of Faith, I didn't really think about in those terms. I thought, oh, well, it's a great thing to die for your faith. And I think that's where these guys still draw that line. It's, you know, we shouldn't carry crosses and we have the right to walk in this great victory, except when it comes to being martyred for the faith.
Oh.
And so somehow they kind of, because that's a noble thing, and they believe that that's, I mean, they don't see martyrdom like we do as Catholics, because obviously they don't believe in the communion of the saints, but they do believe that we have to be able to have that fortitude to be able to be martyred for our faith. And so they really don't see that as, you know, something that the apostles should have done or that where they fell short. That's how they reconcile that, Walt.
Does that reconcile it for you, Walt, or are you, go ahead.
If they're on the Nile River and ISIS was about to cut their heads off, they would say that's God's will for them. But other than that, it's not God's will to suffer.
Yes, and I know that doesn't make any sense because it's, you know, anytime you have a faith that's not grounded in truth, you're going to have all these loose ends that can't be tied up, that don't make any sense, and that is one of them. So you bring up an excellent point. But yeah, that's how they believe that yes, it's maybe not necessarily God's will. They never believe that it's God's will for you to suffer in any way, even for you to be martyred. But they believe that for you to become a martyr is a witness to the faith, that it's not a shortcoming on your part or a failure of your faith.
Oh, interesting. Okay, thanks for letting me know. I just was wondering how they could square that away. God bless.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Thank you, Walt.
Thank you very much, Walt. Appreciate that. And the weird twist that always strikes me about this, whether it's a New Age approach to the Word of Faith, you know, putting your word out to the universe, or a Christianized mm-hmm. version where you're claiming it in the name of Jesus, or however it's phrased in a different church, is it instead of that being a great liberation to the person, it becomes just a burden that you carry through mm-hmm. life. It's a trap. It's a trap.
You know,
gospel.
What? It's a constant tension, is what it is. Because look at these preachers who will come to you now and say, God told me I have to believe for a $54 million plane. So there's really never enough. There's really never that place where you exhale. It's
yeah.
always more. You always have to have more. And if I can just interject this real quick, when I was, I don't know, maybe in my 20s, there was a lady who came and spoke at our church, and she talked about these visions of heaven, that she had been to heaven. And she said that what she saw there were these rooms that were filled with all of these things that we didn't ask for on the earth. They were ours, and we didn't mm-hmm. ask for them, and so we didn't get them. And so part of the thing that drives you in this is this idea that I don't want to show up before God, because we're really taught that this great weeping and gnashing of teeth isn't going to be over our sin. It's not going to be over our failings. It's going to be over all the things we could have had while we were on the earth, but we didn't.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. That's an extraordinary twist there. So
yeah.
Wow. I'm going to let the callers talk because I'm speechless at the moment. Lisa Cooper is our guest. Lisa is a Catholic and now a Catholic, raised in the Word of Faith or Prosperity Gospel movement. Knows all about it from the inside and the out, and we're happy to have your calls for her. April in New Orleans, you are on with Lisa Cooper. Your question, April.
My question is, I grew up as well, ever since a small girl. I'm 35 now. I grew up also under the prosperity gospel. And about 4 years ago, I was going through a separation and a divorce. And I went to my pastor at that time, and I asked him for counseling. And what we were told is that if you give $1,000 and you rely on your faith, then your marriage will be healed. And you would stay together. So ultimately, that did not happen, and I left the church. And I guess what my question is, how do I help my parents and other family members to understand my rationale of, number one, why I did not pay the $1,000, and number two, why I left that denomination of church, and how do I help them understand what I see as I'm buying faith, or I'm buying the Spirit, I'm buying God.
Thank you, April. Lisa.
So, April, can I ask you, when you left the Baptist church, or did you become another faith? Where are you now in your
Catholic
walk with God? Okay. All right. So one of the things that I think I would approach with my parents is not necessarily, because people don't always necessarily understand a running from as much as they understand a running to. And so you can use that incident with the $1,000, and that is prevalent all over Word of Faith. You know, a $58 seed will bring 58 promises into your life. A $1,000 seed will break the back of poverty in your life. And I can't tell you, girl, how many of those offerings I gave into myself. I was that person who cleaned out my savings account to give into an offering because I was told that it was going to bring this great blessing in my life, and it never manifested. So I think instead of trying to point to something that they still probably cling to as something that they believe pretty firmly, I would point instead to the truth of the faith, because you didn't just leave that church and become nothing. You came into the Catholic Church because you found truth, because you understood that truth was important. And one of the things that I have, you know, sort of peppered in my conversations with my family is, God divorced from absolute truth is nothing more than a figment of our imagination. He is a mythological figure that is created to satisfy our need for the supernatural and to justify our actions, whatever they may be. But he's not God. And so if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then there has to be one truth and only one absolute truth. And that's what you found in the Catholic faith, April. And so I think what you can do is share what you found with your family. Share why you came home instead of why you left something that they still cling to. Because really, your heart is to convert your family, not just to explain your decision. And, you know, I mean, programs like, well, I mean, Catholic Answers exist because we know that we cannot evangelize people. You can't go to your parents and take them by the hand and look them tenderly in the eyes and say, Mom and Dad, this is crazy talk. You have to be able to give a defense of your faith, of why you came home, of the truth that you found. And I think that's going to do more good in convincing your parents than trying to go and put out every little fire of the Word of Faith Prosperity Gospel movement, because you're never going to run out of them. But if you can point them toward the light, that's going to help them understand far better than pointing toward these areas where you were hurt.
April, what do you make of that?
I mean, I think that it's ironic that this is what you guys are talking about today, because this definitely for several years have been on my mind, and it actually has a line, a subtle line, but a line between my parents as well as myself. Mm-hmm. But what she says is phenomenal. That is where I realized, once I got to the Catholic Church, that I finally knew truly what that relationship with God should be. And that I don't need to be moved by emotion, and I don't have to pay for my faith. and pay for my deliverance. God give that to me freely. So
that's right.
Wow.
Basically, that's what I'm hearing from you, to continually encourage my parents in that way, instead of trying to explain to them. And that's what I typically do, try to explain to them why this does not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
April, what a beautiful testimony you just gave us, and I'm extremely moved by it. I think many people will be. It's not a faith you have to pay for; it's given free, and God loves you so much. I'm so grateful for you sharing that with us, April, and for your call. We got to take a break. Lisa Cooper is our guest. Lisa was raised in the prosperity gospel movement, has found her liberation in the truth of the Catholic faith, and wants to share it with everybody. We'll be right back to do more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Summer is here. That means summer reading. I have great news. Catholic Answers is having its first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, you can get dozens of great books offered at $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. Now is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for yourself, your friends, and your family. Save 50% or more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of great authors. And my personal favorite, all the books in our Catholic Answers Classic series are marked down as well. Log on now and all this month to the store at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our first ever summer sale. Log on today at shop.catholic.com.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
What difference does it make who or what you worship or what you believe? Sharing the faith used to make some people mad because it challenged their own strong beliefs. Today, it makes a lot of people yawn because they don't have strong beliefs about anything. Religious indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates modern culture. This is Matt Nelson, and in my new book, Just Whatever, I'll take down the building blocks of religious indifference one by one. We'll look at the different kinds of indifference you tend to encounter in your friends and family members to see where they come from and why they're seductive. What you believe matters. Find out why and what to do about it in my new book, Just Whatever. You can order your copy of Just Whatever by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about the Word of Faith, often known as Name It and Claim It, or Prosperity Gospel. And one of the striking things that April, the caller that just called, who gave a beautiful testimony about finding the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which liberates, which frees, and which calls us to something much higher and greater than ourselves. She talked about her parents living the prosperity gospel, and she called them Baptist. And that strikes me as a very interesting point, because to be a Baptist is not to believe in the prosperity gospel. And it's not
right.
That it's not that Baptists changed. It's that there are now the tentacles of the prosperity gospel. This is why it's important for Catholics to know this. They're reaching into other churches so that you're still Catholic, but what you're believing is this prosperity gospel stuff that you hear Joel Osteen say, or Kenneth Copeland say, or maybe even a Catholic minister who's been infected with it. You were saying to me at the break when I mentioned that to you that there's we're very self-centered in modern society, and that's part of what makes this attractive.
Yeah, I mean, we are the center of our own world. We have become the center of what matters. And when you And you can know that when you listen to the reasons why people attend a particular church or leave a particular church. Because what do they say? I like the mass. I like the homily here. Or if it's a non-denominational church, I like the worship. I believe. And so it's become, our faith has become this sort of selfie faith. It's, what do I look like? What does my reflection look like in this faith? Instead of, where is the truth? Who does God say that he is? And what do I need to do to be transformed into his image? Instead, we very subtly are recreating him in our image. You know, when we hear Oprah Winfrey say things like, well, you know, the God that I know would never, you know, fill in the blank. You know,
yeah, I hear that all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But God is not, again, and it's kind of what April and I were talking about. If God is only the God that you make him out to be, then he's not God.
Right.
Then he's just this thing that you've created.
Right. As you said, to justify your own actions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because then there's no such thing as sin is only what you believe sin is. It's not what God says sin is. And that's a very, you know, to use the lexicon, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah. I want to be very careful, and I know that you're careful about this, but that people don't think that we're saying that this is Protestantism, because there's a great diversity of Protestantism.
Right.
This is a strain that is infecting even Catholicism. All kinds of churches are being infected with this prosperity gospel idea.
Right, they are, because we are becoming more and more of a selfish people. And Word of Faith is, at its core, a self-centered faith. Now, most people in these even denominational churches that may have these traces of Word of Faith elements, no Baptist pastor is going to stand up and tell you that you're a little God. That's never going to happen. But if you believe that you can control your life because your words have power in and of themselves, that whole idea comes from the innate belief that you are a little God, whether you know that that's what that is or not. And so, no, you're exactly right. In fact, there are a lot of really great Protestant pastors who speak out vehemently and intelligently against the Word of Faith movement. So, no, I am not saying that this is, you know, if you're not Catholic, you're Word of Faith. I'm not saying that at all.
Indeed. Let's go to, we have another anonymous caller in an anonymous location. Anonymous, you are on with Lisa Cooper. Your question, please. That's you.
Hello?
Yeah, that's you.
I'm sorry.
No,
it was me. I'm sorry. I haven't called in on a live radio station before. I just wanted to give you a quick background. I was in the Word of Faith up until 2009, and it had such a detrimental effect on me that I ended up leaving Christianity completely. And I'm fast forwarding ahead, got heavily involved in Law of Attraction, or The Secret, as you call it, which it actually ended me up in Wicca. Recently in April, had a miraculous encounter with the Holy Spirit and, with the love of God. And thank God I've come back to where I needed to be.
Praise God for that.
I live in a very, very small town. This is the only Christian radio station that I get, and I've been listening to it since April, and it's brought me to a place where I'm seriously considering attending the Catholic Church. It has had that strong of an effect in my life.
Well, you'll make it a lot better Catholic Church when you come in. We need you, Anonymous. So,
Amen. Amen. When I came in this evening, I had so many things to do, and the usual, I turn on the radio, and I heard Lisa. Is her name? I heard what she was saying, and I literally sat down in my chair. I was like, I cannot believe I'm hearing this. It's like this woman is speaking about my life.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing the Law of Attraction take over so many lives, as well as the prosperity teaching. And there are, I can tell you from my experience, my study, there are direct lines between the two. Mm-hmm. Direct lines. And when I heard her talking about that, I got so motivated, and I'm kind of a shy person, and I said, I have to call, because my getting to my question is, what can you advise me to share with the friends that I have that I had before, you know, back in 2009, that are mm-hmm. still into prosperity teaching, what can I share with them to open their eyes, to help them see the correlation between the law of attraction and prosperity teaching?
I would tell you a couple of things. One is the fact that you have a background in Wicca probably serves you well in being able to explain to your friends the dark side of the law of attraction, because the law of attraction is witchcraft. And that's something that almost anyone in Word of Faith does not understand. Its roots are in witchcraft. So I can tell you, when you want to explain to your friends, first of all, I think I would tell them about my own experience if I were you. I think that's a great witness, and telling them. And in fact, Benny Hinn, you can probably find this clip on YouTube where Benny Hinn talks about the fact that a witch told him that they can kill birds with their words. And he said, "And the Spirit of God talked to me or told me that we can speak life with our words." And so it's the same principle. In fact, Benny Hinn will tell you it's the same principle. So there are two things, Anonymous, that's very crucial to understanding the occultic roots of Word of Faith. In order for something to be occultic, O-C-C-U-L-T, part of the occult, it has to, number one, reside in the idea that there are spiritual laws and forces which can be manipulated in order to control the physical world, which from your background in Wicca, you're very familiar with that. The second thing is it has to be based on the notion that somehow we are divine. And I don't mean in that we share in Christ's divinity in the sense that we are to share in his suffering and share in his humility and grow in virtue, but that we are divine in the sense that we have rights and we're going to use them to control the forces around us and get the things that we want out of life. And so you can go to your friends and explain this to them in terms of this is the definition of the occult. You can talk to them, as I said, about your experience, but you can do a little bit of research if you want. There's a lot out there just on the New Thought movement, and that was kind of something that Cy and I were talking about. If you go in and find out how New Thought began, it came on the heels of the Transcendental movement. It was kind of a turn-of-the-century movement, and really, New Thought was sort of centrally located, that idea, at Emerson College of Oratory, which is where E.W. Kenyon went to school, because he had left the ministry because he wanted a career on the stage. And while he may not have directly studied New Thought, it was the prevailing mindset of the entire place. Kenyon himself was very familiar with the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy. And so out of New Thought came all of what we call the Christian sciences. Okay, so Christian Science and any of the religious sciences that rely on this idea of using spiritual forces to affect change, to affect healing, to affect divinity. There's a lot of research that you can do if you want to on the New Thought movement and where it came from. But Kenyon himself was influenced by New Thought, and all he did was baptize New Thought teaching into a Christian lexicon. But he used those concepts. And so I'm not saying that your friends will listen to you, because they may not, but at least you can plant that seed. And then one other thing that I would encourage you yourself to research, and also encourage your friends to research, and that is the history of the Bible. Because if you understand how the Bible came to us, that the Catholic Church predates the Bible, which Word of Faith people use as a sort of magical spell book almost. Like it, within the Bible, if you find any word or phrase, it doesn't even have to be in context, you can speak it and affect change. And they will use the Bible to criticize other faiths, specifically the Catholic Church. But if you could research and understand that the Bible came by the Holy Spirit through the Catholic Church, and that the Catholic Church actually predates the Bible, that we lived according to the tradition and the teachings of the apostles and their successors before we had this firm canon of scripture, that will also give them something to think about. Because Word of Faith is not just about, oh, I said these things. It's I said it from the Bible, and I know that the Bible is true, and I know where it came from. So you can kind of give yourself that something to think about as well.
Anonymous, we will have to leave it there because the music is playing and the music is the boss around here. Once it starts playing, we got to stop talking. Lisa Cooper, thank you so much. Is there somewhere where people can find you or read what you've written? Have you got a website or anything you want to give them?
I do. People can find me at lisagcooper.com. They can get in touch with me there. And at this point, I'm happy to answer their questions. I'm in the process of putting some pieces and articles together that people can kind of use as a ready reference for some of the questions like we had today.
And you got to write a book. We got to have the Lisa Cooper book. This is a net. You see why
I said. I'm working on it.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. You're working on it. Well,
yes.
Back to work,
yes.
Lisa. The show's over. Back to work on that book. Thanks so much for being with us. Lisa Cooper is her name, and the Prosperity Gospel is the one to avoid. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.